Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
All right, if you got a Bible with you, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We've made it to chapter 3. Again, just five small chapters in this book, this letter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, as some are turning there, let me give you some context. Peter, he now is going to talk about relationships, all right? So let's talk about relationships. He's going to talk about marriage relationships, relationships inside the church with other believers, relationships outside the church with people that do not believe the same way, even people that attack you. Peter covers everything involving relationships in this chapter. And I just want to warn you for a second. I warned last service. I want to warn you. What we're about to read, it's going to make many of you very uncomfortable, all right? So just get ready. You're going to be uncomfortable from the get-go, but we'll walk through it here in just a little bit. And maybe you're wondering, what are you talking about? You're going to find out here pretty quick what makes you feel uncomfortable, all right? So 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read out the NIV, but if you have a different translation, that will work for you as well. And here's what it says. Peter goes right in, okay? Jumps right in. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words. So you don't have to preach a message, he's saying, but by the behavior of their wives, how you live. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as an elaborate hairstyle or wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is valuable. It's of great value, great worth in God's sight. Remember, don't worry. We're going to talk about some of that stuff that we just read. Now, if you kept reading, Peter, he gives us an Old Testament example of what this should look like, the relationship of a wife to a husband and vice versa. But then in verse 7, Peter pivots and he starts to talk to the fellas, all right? So if you're a guy, listen up. This is for you. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way. Notice he keeps harking back to things he's already said in this letter. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, all right, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you. So now Peter's saying, hey, you're all in this now. All of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. He's saying, get rid of this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing. That's not the way. Instead, on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. Peter says it's your calling, so that you may inherit a blessing. Forever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil. We could say it in 2021, translate it to us, keep your thumbs from evil as you're typing those things out on social media, and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We're reading a lot, but there's a reason for it. Verse 13, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if, somebody shout, even if. Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. You don't have to be scared. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Some translations say, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your holy, written, awesome word. And God, I know we took in a lot today, but I pray, God, we would lean in to what you have to say here in chapter 3. It's some really good stuff, but it's some challenging stuff. There's some things we need to unpack together. So may we lean in and learn from you. May we take time today not just to hear the preaching, but apply the preaching to our lives, God, to allow and invite the seed of your word to go down deep and to produce fruit on the back end because of what happens today on the front end. May you move mightily, we pray, in Jesus' name. And if you'll agree with me, would you shout amen? Amen. There's a lot to unpack here, and I think it's going to be really helpful for us all, no matter what your relationship status is. I'm calling this message, by the way, make sure I get this to you, Win from Within. Hope you'll write that down if you're taking notes. Win from within. And here's what I believe. I believe that we can all win in relationships as long as we focus on the inside. I believe that we can win in relationships as long as we stop focusing on the other person and start focusing on what God wants to do inside of us. So let's get started. And we read a lot, but again, I got some good things to share with you. So here's the first thing you need to take note of as we get into this message, Win from Within. We see in this letter from Peter to the church, number one, write this down, the church can never be healthy if our families are sick. I want to say that again because I think that's good, okay? The church can never be healthy if our families are sick. And this is all the way verses 1 through 12. Peter spends a lot of time talking about this. He knows what maybe you haven't realized, like deeper than surface level, that if you want your family to be healthy, it starts with you. That if we want our churches to be healthy, guess what? It starts with us. God needs to do a great work inside of us. Now, just a quick reminder for us all. The church that Peter is writing to originally, they are under attack. They are being extremely persecuted. Their friends and their family are dying because of their faith. Yet still, Peter says, you can thrive and the church can advance. We can make a real difference, but it starts at home. I'll say it to you this way. It's hard to win in life when you fail in relationships. And so we got to do better, Peter says. We got to focus on what's happening on the inside. Health starts at home. And really, he knows this. He knows that the world is watching us. They won't admit it, right? Like they won't tell us that they're watching, but they are watching how we live. Check this out, friend. The world could care less about the faith that you profess on Sundays. They want to see the faith that you profess lived out Monday through Saturday. And that's what Peter's talking about. Like, you don't have to preach a sermon. You need to live out a sermon with your life. Can I get an amen? In God's house. And so if we want our churches to be healthy, if we want to thrive in a culture that is far from God and even against God's people, it starts at home. It starts with you. It starts with your marriage. It starts with your kids and your grandkids, your family, your close friends. It starts with us. People are paying attention to how we live. Peter's very aware that the relationships in the home, they are key. They are paramount. And so let's start where he starts. Right out of the gate, he talks marriage. And we're going to start there as well. Peter says this first. And this is what made a lot of people uncomfortable. He says this, wives, you should submit to your husbands. So I want to talk about that for a second because here's what needs to be shared on the microphone in this church, on a platform from me to you. You need to hear this loud and clear. The reason why this makes many people uncomfortable is because that word submit has been abused and misused throughout history and also in the church. And I want to acknowledge that loud and clear. This is on tape. We've got to do better. The story for many of you is you had somebody in your life that they misused, they abused that word, and they used that to help themselves. And so when we read that, we're like, man, that makes me uncomfortable. That makes me uneasy. And it's not because you don't want to live out what God's word says. It's because you don't want to live out what somebody else has abused from God's word. And so I want to acknowledge that. That's reality for a lot of people. And so what we have to do is not skim by the word from now on. We've got to go back to what God intended that word to mean from the beginning. The biblical intent from this passage. And so we're going to jump into that. What did God mean originally? Wives, submit to your husband. This is really important, okay? Submission does not mean that women are less than men. Come on, can I get a better amen in God's house? We are equal before God. That's why Peter says later, you caught this probably, that we are co-heirs, that we're partners, that we're called to serve God side by side. This is a big deal. And talk countercultural, back in the biblical culture of the day, not what the Bible was saying, but what was happening when the Bible was written, men, they were held to such this high level that everybody else was beneath them. And so what Peter is saying here, that you're actually a co-heir with your wife, people didn't like it then. It was counter-cultural. But Peter's like, no, this is how God has designed it. And you could even go back to the beginning. Go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. What does the Bible say? We see this at work, co-heirs. What does the Bible say? God made Adam out of dirt. Like guys, we came from dirt. That says a lot about us, right? God made Adam out of dirt, but then God made Eve out of a rib from Adam's side. And the Bible, from the very beginning, calls Eve a helpmate. Come on, Christ Covenant, hear me loud and clear. God knew from the very beginning that us guys, we needed help, okay? Like we need some help. So God creates Eve out of a rib from Adam's side, and it's been said that there's a reason that God did not create Eve out of Adam's feet, because women are not beneath men. It's been said that God did not create Eve out of Adam's head, because women are not above men. But what did God do instead? He created Eve out of Adam's side, because we are called to be co-heirs, living side by side. We are equal. We are all made in the image of God. Come on, somebody. And that is health. So let's acknowledge the past of how this has been misused and abused. And let's get back to the biblical foundation, what God intended from the beginning. Here's something else that's noteworthy from the text. The Bible does not say that every woman should submit to every man. It doesn't say that. The Bible instead says, we just read it, that wives should submit to their husband. Last time I checked, that's one dude, y'all. That's one guy, okay? That's health. This is what the Bible's talking about. But even then, men, married men, you are not off the hook. I am not off the hook either. It's not all on the wife. We all have roles to play. You see, husbands, you need to ask yourself this question. Is your leadership worthy of your wife's submission? We're going to get real, real all up in each other's business today. I'm just telling you. I'll put it to you this way, fellas, because we just need to be blunt with each other. Like, would you submit to you? Would you submit to you? And so we both have a role to play. We both have a part to play. And guys, if you can't lead yourself spiritually, don't you expect to be able to lead your family spiritually? It starts with us. And so as men, as husbands, if I want authority in my house, if you want authority in your house, you have to take responsibility. And by the way, I did not say this last service, this is just for you, but all the single women listening in the room online, hear me loud and clear. If he's not leading you spiritually now, don't you dare let him put a ring on it and think he's going to poof and change into a spiritual leader in your house. Trying to help some people out. We have heavy responsibility. This is a partnership together. Now, as we continue to examine the text closely, I hope you're keeping your Bible open, because we're walking through this. We're journeying through this together. Peter talks next about how a believing spouse can actually win over an unbelieving spouse. And remember, it's not by preaching, it's by attitude. And that translates to marriages, but how many of y'all know that translates to every relationship? You may not get to preach a message on a platform because your life is preaching a good enough message on its own. And it's the way that we live that can actually lead someone to believing in following Jesus. As I shared earlier, people pay way more attention to how you live than to what you say on social media. People will make decisions. I've said this a lot, 3 years being here. People will make decisions whether to follow Jesus or not based on how you live. You're a walking, talking, breathing, living billboard for Jesus. And that's a heavy responsibility, but it's on us all. Now, next in the passage, we got uncomfortable again because that's where Peter talks about jewelry and getting your hair done, all this kind of stuff, wearing nice clothes. And I saw some people, you're covering up your earrings when you read that part. You're like, I don't know. Well, what does this mean? But what's going on? I have read those verses before. So I want to break it down for you, okay? Because not only has this been misinterpreted, but there's whole denominations that have gotten this wrong, okay? So let's go back to the original intent. Notice that Peter, nowhere in the text, I hope you got it open, nowhere in the text does he say that women can't get their hair done. Nowhere. You won't find it. Look again if you don't believe me. Nowhere in the text does he say that you can't wear jewelry. What does he say instead? Don't focus on that. So don't cover your earrings. You're okay, all right? You bling bling all you want to. Fellas, buy your wife. Like buy her. Like, get her nails done. And it's on you. Massage, hair, like all that. That's good. Women, I'm trying to help you out today. Like, husbands, do that for your wives. Nothing wrong with it. Wear makeup. Do your hair how you want to do it. Like, get your hair did. It's all good, okay? Like, nothing wrong with that. Peter never says stop doing that. He says focus on the inside. And this is not just a woman problem. This is a women and men problem. I'll put it to you this way. This is going to help you catch what I'm talking about. I wonder how much time, men and women, how much time do you spend in the morning looking in a mirror? 30 minutes, an hour, focused on physical appearance. And then here's the same question, but in a slightly different way. How much time do you spend in the morning looking at God's word? Because that's how you fix and have God work inside instead of trying to fix up how you look on the outside. Your mask is covering it up anyways, okay? So you focus on the inside. That's the intent. So don't get it twisted, all right? That's exactly what he's talking about. So Peter talks about the wives' role in marriage, and we've talked through that a little bit, but then he pivots and he says, hey, fellas, guys, you are not off the hook. You got some work to do, too. You need to know your role, too. There's some things that you need to work on so your family can be healthy and so the church can be healthy. He says this, husbands, you should always consider. You should consider the needs of your wife. If you're going to lead well and expect for her to submit to your leadership, you need to always consider what she wants over what you want. What your family needs over what you desire. I knew it'd get real quiet in the house. It had not been quiet until this moment. It's convicting, right? Like to always, always, always put your needs last. That's how you lead well, Peter says. So we're all called to lead this way. He says you should respect your wife. Again, countercultural. Respect them. You should help them. You should share your life with them, not abuse the responsibility that you have. And by the way, when Peter says that wives are a weaker partner, he is not saying weaker in intellect. He is not saying weaker in talent or passion or gifting. No, 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 no. He's simply generalizing that oftentimes a woman is weaker physically. Not all the time, some of the time, or even most of the time, especially back then. He is simply generalizing. Again, we are all co-heirs together. We are all made in the image of God. We are all partners called to serve side by side. And so the practical application from the marriage part of the text is this, that you would start today. Let's put off tomorrow, yesterday. Let's not focus on tomorrow. Let's focus on today, that today you would honor your spouse, that today you would respect your spouse, that today you would begin to faithfully fulfill the roles that God has called you to fulfill in your marriage, that you would actively protect each other, that you would focus on your health, on the inside, what God is doing. And honestly, here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that every person that's married, husband and wife, I'm hoping that today after the service that you do what I did earlier this week. Because I was studying this and I was like, man, I feel like I do pretty good in my leadership. I'm not perfect, obviously. But I feel like I do pretty good in my marriage and leading my family. But I was super convicted. I'm like, man, I haven't always like put her needs over my own. I've been selfish sometimes. I haven't always considered her viewpoint. And usually I paid for it because she saw something that I didn't see. Men, we should not belittle the role spiritually that our wives play in our marriage. Oftentimes they see things that we didn't see. And if we would just ask them, it would save us some hurt. So I went home this week and I'm like, babe, I was studying and I had to come home and tell you, I am sorry. There are times I have not like put your needs above my own. There are times that I have missed it, that I could have done better in my leadership. But by the way, you want to fix your marriage, just say, I'm sorry. Those are powerful words. And I'm sorry. And I apologize, and we hugged, and it was just awesome. I was just saying. But some of you need to do that. In fact, I think everybody, maybe you've been married for 50 years. Why not go home today and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that I missed it. I'm sorry for the times that I've been selfish, and I'm going to do better. If we would do that, I'm telling you, God would bring such health and such vitality that we would be living in such a way that not only would our homes change, our community would change. Because people are watching how we live and how we operate. So maybe, just maybe, that's where you need to start today if you're married, that I'm just going to go home and apologize and do better from this day forward. Now, we've talked marriage. Let's talk everyone for a moment, because that's where Peter goes next. In verse 8, if you still got the Bible open, Peter brings in everybody, right? That's why he uses the words, all of you. So it didn't matter what your relationship status is, single, single again, confused, I don't know what's going on, it don't matter. Like, this is for you, Peter says. He says this, you need to begin to encourage people. You need to begin to be united again. There's so much division on the outside of the church. Let's not be divided on the inside of the church. He says this, let your love of others lead. That people would know you're living for Jesus by how you love people so well. What else does he say? I know you want to repay evil for evil, but don't do it. I know they killed your brother and you want to kill them. Like, talk about real talk. That's what's happening back then. I know that you want to storm the castle, but don't do it. I know you want to fight back because they're fighting you, but don't do it. Instead, be good. Do good. And as you do good, some will turn to the faith because they're watching you even though they don't admit it. But even if they don't, you will suffer well, Peter says. And guess who else suffered well, friend? Jesus. You've never been more like Jesus. Said this last week if you were here. You've never been more like Jesus until you're in that season where you're suffering. Because Jesus suffered, but he suffered well. What does Peter say? This is what you're called to do. This is your calling. This is God's plan over your life. And then in verse 12, a verse that seems to echo back to verse 7, in these verses, Peter makes a powerful connection that I had missed before. I've read the Bible through and through many different times throughout my life, but I had missed this time and time again until this past week. Check it out if you got it open. It's incredible. Peter makes a connection between our relationships with each other and our relationships with God. I'd missed it before, but he makes a connection between our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. Specifically in verse 12, what does he say? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. What does this mean, Pastor? It means this: our earthly relationships affect our heavenly prayers. I had missed this for years and years and years. And even going back to verse 7, Peter warns husbands. Husbands, how many of you know that not only do we need somebody to get in our face every once in a while, but sometimes we need a threat at the end of it? And that's what Peter does. He gives them like one verse or so, and then he gives them a threat. What's the threat at the end of it? Do all of this. Treat your wife this way so that your prayers aren't hindered. There's a connection that I missed, and maybe you've missed it before. Our earthly relationships affect our heavenly prayers. And so if you want God to answer your prayers, and you do, if you want God to answer your prayers, get relationships right. Honor others. Honor God. Live a righteous life. The life you were called to live, Peter says. The church can never be healthy if our families aren't healthy. Let's pour into our relationships like never before. Here's a second and final point. Peter warns us in chapter 3, this is number 2. He says, you're either ready or you're not. Go back to your elementary days, hide and seek. 1 to 9:10, ready or not? Here I come. Peter says, you're either ready, friend, or you're not. And this is specifically talking to believers in Jesus. So if you're a believer in Jesus, this is for you. You're either ready or you're not. This is verses 13 through verse 15. Peter says this: if you follow Jesus, you should always be prepared. You should always be ready. Well, ready for what? Ready to share your faith. Ready to share your testimony. So I want to get real practical, give you some practical handles just right away with this point, okay? Here's the question you should ask yourself right now. That if today, after the service, you had a one-on-one conversation, no microphone, no platform, no other eyes, just you and one other person, that if somebody came to you today and they asked you, why do you believe in Jesus? What has Jesus done in your life? I wonder, could you give them a compelling answer? Because you can't phone a friend when that happens. You can't call your pastor. That's just you and them, no other eyes. Could you tell them why? Say it to you another way, just real practically. If someone came to you later today and says, how do you have hope in 2021? How are you still smiling? I know you lost your job. I know you've got this issue. I know your family member's sick. How are you still smiling? How do you have joy? Like what's going on? Describe that hope that you have. I wonder, could you give them a compelling answer? And if you can't, you are not living the life God has called you to live. You get mad at me all you want, but that's exactly what Peter says. This is the life you were called to live. This isn't just for pastors with microphones on platforms. You're a pastor. That's chapter 2 of 1 Peter, by the way. You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. That's you. I told a young leader recently in our church, I told him recently that I think every Christian, if they had 30 seconds, they should be able to share their testimony. I think every Christian that if they had 3 minutes, they should be able to share their testimony. I think every Christian, if somebody gave them 30 minutes over coffee or a meal or they're at their house, they should be able to share their testimony in all those different time frames. That's always being ready. So practical handle. If you couldn't do that, change that today. Get home, write out your testimony. If I got 30 seconds at the grocery store and the Holy Spirit just, man, I got to share with this person. If God opens the door, you got 3 minutes with a friend you hadn't talked to in a while, but all of a sudden they're calling you, asking what's going on. If you get 30 minutes with somebody, you got to be ready to share your faith. There is no lifelines. It's you and them, and you're leading them into a relationship with the one true God. It's your calling. You're either ready or you're not. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so stinking excited about our Shift Conference. We've never done anything like this before. It's for young leaders, high school age and up. Myself, Pastor Dante, we're going to teach, we're going to resource. Hey, we're going to answer questions like this. Like, how do we know God exists? Not just because grandma told me, like growing, like how do we know? How do we know the Bible is the word of God? Because there's a lot of other quote unquote holy texts out there. Like, how do we know? How do we know Jesus is the only way? So Saturday, January the 30th. And so if you're a young leader or you know one or one's living in your house, or maybe you don't consider yourself a young leader, we're not carding anybody at the door, okay? You sneak on in too, and we're going to help you. This is your calling. This is what God has designed for you, that you would always be ready. You would always be prepared. Now, verse 15, look at it again. Peter says, always be prepared, always be ready, but the verse doesn't end, does it? It continues. And a lot of people, they were called Bible thumpers decades ago. A lot of people end verse 15 there, always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. And people end it there. But it does not end there. What does it say at the end of verse 15, if you still got it open? Do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. And so the best combination for us to win our family and our friends over to Jesus Christ is to offer them truth, but also grace. Some of us are all about the truth. That gets us pumped up. Man, we can shout fire. We talk about some truth, but there's zero grace. There's others that it's all grace. Yeah, just live your life, you know, that kind of, and there's no truth. And Jesus says, you need both, truth and grace. I love how someone explained it. It helped me, it's going to help you. Truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless, but truth and grace is meaningful. That's helpful, isn't it? That breakdown. I'm going to say it again. Truth without grace is mean. Grace without truth is meaningless, but truth and grace is meaningful. If you're all truth and no grace, they will not listen to you. But if you're all grace and no truth, what you have to say really doesn't matter. You need both. So don't you dare back down for the truth that you know. You stand up strong, but also make sure that you offer heavy doses of grace. Can anybody else testify like the young man standing before you today that God has been so gracious to you? Why not show that same grace to someone else? Can anybody relate to what I'm talking to? Man, talk about a screw up. You're looking at him. Talk about a guy that has missed it time and time again, but only because of the saving grace of God would I be standing before you today. How can I not offer that grace to someone else? I didn't plan on saying this first service or this service, but I've said it in both services. Here it is. Tune in. Lean in. I'll tell you why I'm not frustrated with our nation right now, because a lot of people are frustrated. On both sides of the political aisle. I mean, some of y'all, I feel like if we cut you open, you'd be red, and others you'd be blue, man. It just you bleed for politics. There's just so many. But I'll tell you why I'm not frustrated. There's two reasons. Number one, Jesus is still on the throne. Can I get a better amen in God's house amongst God's people? He is the president of presidents. Whether you like the one that we've had or whether you don't, or whether you like the one we're gonna have or you don't, Jesus is the ultimate authority. He holds their life in his hand. He can get them out. Like, didn't have to be all this. Like, he can get them out if he wants to. So that's the first reason. Second reason is people who are not followers of Jesus, like, it doesn't frustrate me when they don't follow Jesus. I'll explain to you this way. Why would I expect someone that doesn't love Jesus to act like they love Jesus? And why would that frustrate me? Instead, why don't I pray for them? Instead, why don't I preach without a microphone, but the way that I lead this church and lead my family? Instead, why don't I let my life do the talking? Instead, why don't I realize that I'm not the morality police, okay? And it's not my job to pick who's evil and who's not. My job, my calling is return the evil they do against me with good. That will change our nation. So I'm not frustrated. In fact, I'm excited because God's kingdom advanced under Nero, and God's kingdom will still advance today in 2021 if his people called by his name will humble themselves. They're going to trust God. They're going to believe God. They're going to return like evil, no eye for eye. They're going to return good for evil. They're going to honor others. It's truth and grace. Truth and grace. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for my friends. Man, what a powerful word from your word. This entire tiny letter is so remarkable, but man, just awesome how you're orchestrating this whole thing, God. And this word is for us. If we want to win, we've got to realize that we win from within. God, you've called us to win in relationships. You've called us to have marriages that other people want to have, to live out our singleness in such a way that it's so inspiring to others. It's something, man, how do you live that way? How do you keep trust? Like, how do you do that? How do you have joy? You've called us to treat people outside the church with love. And even though they plan or say evil things against us, to return their evil with good, to do good, to pray for their salvation, to pray that they would come to know the truth and the grace that we've come to know. God, I pray for every believer that we would be ready and prepared to give an account for the hope that we have. We may never be on a platform with lights on us and a microphone in our hand, but our life is a sermon that we preach to those around us. So may we live in such a way that's attractive to people outside the church. May our love lead the way. May we honor and respect. And God, may we trust you that you are the just judge. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the way that we change a city and a nation. This is the way that we change the world for your holy name. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I pray, God, for the people in the room, people watching online. I pray for anybody who's far from you. I pray today would be their day of salvation, that today they would surrender their life to you. You are a good God. You are so holy. You are so righteous. And it's only because of your heavy grace upon our lives that we can be forgiven. Your mercy. The Bible says it this way, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, God. You've been so good to us. You are so kind. Here in this moment, if you're far from God, today can be your day that you surrender all to him, that you submit your life to him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 puts it this way, that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that you will be saved. And so you've got that opportunity right now to believe. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. I believe. You can tell him this out loud. You can whisper to him. I believe you are God. You are real. I feel your presence even now, and I surrender. I believe. I confess. You are my God. You are my Lord. My King. You can ask him now and he hears you. He'll answer this prayer every time. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you make me new? A new creation, clean slate, fresh beginning. That's what I need. I couldn't get to you, God, so you came to me. You're my rescuer. As we sang earlier, you set my feet upon a rock. You clean me up from the inside out. I realized today in this message, that's what matters most. Not all the outside stuff, what's happening within. So clean me up, Jesus. I couldn't fix myself. So I invite you to come in. Make me whole. Make me new. And Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help me to live for you all the days of my life. Help me to live out my faith Monday through Saturday. I know I'm not perfect, so when I fall down and skin my knee, help me back up. Clean me up again, and may your Holy Spirit be like wind behind my sails, helping me live the life I was called to live. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for setting me free. There is no one like you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in hearts and lives. I love you so much. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.